We did Ruth 1 last week, for those of you who were elsewhere, enjoying yourselves at Kingsfold. And we're going to jump to the end of the story. We're picking up at Ruth 3, verses 1 through 5. And then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shouldn't I seek security for you so that things might go well for you? Now, isn't Boaz, whose young women you are with, our relative? Tonight, he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. You should bathe, put some perfume on, wear nice clothes, and then go down to the threshing floor. Don't make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, notice the place where he is lying. Then go, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what to do." Ruth replied to her, "I will do everything you are telling me." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He was intimate with her. The Lord let her become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "May the Lord be blessed, who today hasn't left you without a redeemer. May his name be proclaimed in Israel. He will restore your life and sustain you in your old age. Your daughter-in-law, who loves you, has given birth to him. She's better to you than seven sons." Naomi took the child and held him to her breast, and she became his guardian. The neighborhood women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They called his name Obed. He became Jesse's father and David's grandfather. So last week, we heard the beginning of the story of Ruth. Ruth's story begins with Naomi and her family being disrupted by the famine in Judah. And they have to leave Bethlehem and they flee to Moab. Moab is the land of the Moabites, who are Israel's bitter enemies. And they go there, and Naomi's two sons marry Moabite women, non-Israelites, non-Jews. And then all the men die. And Naomi is left with Ruth and Orpah. And Orpah finally goes back to her own people. But Ruth makes that beautiful declaration at the end of last week's scripture, where she will go where Naomi goes, her people will be Naomi's people will be her people, Naomi's God will be her God. Where Naomi dies, Ruth will die, and wherever Naomi is buried, Ruth will be buried too. The women are left destitute and alone, and then news comes to them that the famine is over in Judah, and Naomi makes this huge decision with Ruth, and they head back to Bethlehem, Naomi's husband's hometown. Remembering that Ruth is not an Israelite, she is the enemy of the Israelites. The story of Ruth is a counterpoint story to the book of Ezra and Nehemiah and to their preaching at this time, where they are preaching to the Israelites that there needs to be racial purity, that they should not marry outside of their religion and their family, their tradition of being Hebrews. And in fact, they are actually demanding the deportation of all the women and children who are not pure Israelites. And this is the land that Naomi and Ruth go to, knowing that Ruth is indeed neither Jew nor Israelite. She is the one who possibly be cast out. In last week's story, we looked at the disturbance that causes them to leave, then the deaths that leave them destitute. And this week, we're looking at what happens next. So what happens next, and why, and we're going to also look at why the story of Ruth is so important. What happens next is they go back and they are poor, they are women on their own, and there's not a lot of options for them. The only thing that they have is a piece of land that belonged to Naomi's husband. But they don't have the capacity to work the land on their own. And so how they feed themselves is that in the story, what we hear is that Ruth goes out every day and she gleans from the fields as they are being cleared by the workers. Now, in the tradition, the biblical tradition of this time and place, it was considered unjust for landowners to clear every part of their land. They had to leave the edges of their fields untouched so that the poor could come in and pick the grain. And so that is what happens in this time and space. And so what Ruth is doing is she is down there gleaning the land. And Boaz finds out that she is there, and he says to her, you know what? You can actually do more than just glean. You can come in and pick where my workers are picking, and my workers will look after you, because a woman on her own in that moment is very vulnerable. And so he has put her under the protection of his household. And he tells his workers, this woman is to be cared for and she is allowed to pick where she wishes. This gives Naomi hope. This gives Naomi hope that Boaz may in fact be the one who will help save them. And in a very bold move, and this is very bold, Naomi says to Ruth, go and prepare yourself. Bathe. Put perfume on. Get your best clothes. This is a foreshadowing of a wedding. When women were married in that time and place, they ritually bathed, they put perfume on, they wore their finest clothes. And this moment, Naomi is giving us a kind of a foreshadowing of what will be. And she tells Ruth to prepare herself. And then she says to her daughter-in-law, I want you to go to Boaz's threshing floor, where they're threshing the grain and preparing it. I want you to go there, and you're going to hide. You're going to kind of hang on the edges. You're not going to go in, and you're going to watch them. And then they're going to have their feast. They're at their harvest feast. They're going to have that. They're going to eat. They're going to drink, and then he's going to find somewhere to lay down and sleep. And when he lays down to sleep, what you're going to do is you're going to come alongside him and you're going to lay on the ground and you're going to uncover his feet. That's a euphemism for something else. You all put in the rest of the story, but basically uncovering the feet means to uncover the whole lower body. Use your imaginations. This is PG. So she does that. And in the morning, when Boaz wakes up, he kind of goes, who are you? Oh, it's you. What are you doing here? And she kind of says, you know, I'm here. And he says, I will bring you under my protection. And how he does that, how he symbolizes that to everybody in the room, is he takes his cloak and he lays it over her. Naomi's plan might be working. But these stories in scripture are never as simple as that, and there's always a hitch, and here's the hitch. There is indeed a male relative who has more right to marry Ruth and have the land that will come with her than Boaz. In this tradition, what happens is when men die, their wives marry the brothers. They marry the male relatives of their husband, right? Remember that piece in the New Testament, in the gospel stories, where Jesus is challenged about what happens when You know, if a woman's husband dies and she has to marry her brother and she does that seven times over, which of the husbands is going to be the husband she'll meet in heaven? It comes from this tradition, this idea that when a man dies, the women marry the brothers because they need the male protection. The women need this protection in the society that we're dealing with. And so Boaz cannot marry Ruth until this is dealt with. And so Boaz goes down to the city gates and where all of the important people are hanging out, and he goes through all of the due process of offering this other person, this other man, the land and the woman. And this other person doesn't want them, and so Boaz is legally now allowed to marry Ruth. And he marries her, and she gets pregnant. And she has a baby, and he is called Obed. And he is the great-grandfather of King David. So why is this so important, not only to the Jewish tradition, but why is this important to us? Well, Jesus is from the line of David, right? But what's really important about this is where Ruth comes in the story of Jesus himself. In the Gospel of Matthew, at the beginning of the Gospel, where Matthew lays out Jesus' genealogy and names everybody who's related, you know, the grandfather and grandmother who beget, the great, you know, all that begetting that goes on, and they name everybody. The only non-Israelite in that story is Ruth. She is named. And there's a reason that her story is so important to us. And that is because she is an outsider. She is someone who should not be in this story. She should not be the great-great-grandmother of a king. And in particular, King David. She should not be in that genealogy of Jesus. Not if we believe that to be a person of faith, to be this, you have to be in the in crowd. You have to be a particular color or a particular gender, or you have to think a particular way, and you can't bring anything from the outside in and contaminate it. That's why Ruth's story is so important. Because she contaminates the purity that Ezra and Nehemiah are preaching about. She comes in and she blows it all open and says, you know what? Anybody can be in this story. Anybody can be a person of God. Anyone can be part of the beloved's story. Anybody, even a Moabite woman. Even someone who doesn't look like you, talk like you, walk like you, think like you, they can be part of the story. Because what's important is not those things, but rather how we behave, how we treat one another. Ruth treats Naomi with all of the character that God wants us to treat one another with. Grace and mercy and love and compassion. She gives up everything just to be with Naomi and go with her and to enter into enemy territory because she knows that that relationship and that bond is far more important than her own death. And that's why Ruth's place in this story and Ruth's place in our story is so important. Because Ruth reminds us that the outsider is an essential part of our community. That just because somebody doesn't look the same as us, has the same color of skin as us, speaks the same language as us, sleeps with the same type of person that we sleep with, is in a marriage that looks different from us, just because of those things does not mean that they are not a central character in the kingdom of God. We are all central characters in the kingdom of God. Not because we look a particular way or speak a particular way, but because God has chosen to love us. That is the only qualification. And that's why Ruth is so important. Because she blows Nehemiah and Ezra out of the water by turning around and saying, not only will I marry a Jewish man, not only will I marry this man from Bethlehem, I am going to be the woman who bears the child who will be the grandfather of your greatest king. Take that, purists. And I think that's a really important message for us to be holding right now. There's a lot of talk about what's pure and what's right. But those outsiders, they have been saving the story of faith for so long. Those outsiders are the ones who've gathered the stories and the traditions up and held them and kept them for us while everything around us has fallen apart. And they have stayed true to the story. We need those outsiders. We need those unwanted and unloved in the community because they remind us that God's story is bigger than us. That God's abundant love is bigger than us. And that we're not the ones who get to choose, but God does. Ruth creates a dynasty. And this is going to be a dynasty of flawed people. And there are things that these people will do that we will criticize and we will hold up as examples of how not to be one another. But at the same time, it is also a reminder that we are flawed human beings too. And that in this attempt to create this purified version of what we think Christians should be, there's all of these people on the outside knocking on the door going, no, hold on a minute. God said not. And indeed, in fact, God has used all of these outsiders to show us what true faith is. So we started this story last week with the disillusionment and the displacement of a woman and a man and their two sons. And we come full circle to the end of the story, to the two women and the boy, Obed, who is given into the care of his grandmother, who will be his guardian. And I almost imagine in some ways when as we kind of get closer to Advent and we're starting to think about Christmas, I start thinking about the stories Mary shared with Jesus. He wasn't getting the three little pigs and Aesop's tales. He was getting stories of his faith at his mother on his mother's lap. And I imagine because they are from the line of David, he would have heard this story many times. And it would have formed his ministry. A story of a woman who should not have been where she was. A woman who risked everything to be where she was. And a woman who had faith and trust in those around her and in the God of her mother-in-law. Thanks be to God. Let's take a moment of quiet reflection.